Hey guys, this is another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast, and we're here with Brian and Gabe. SBF's in jail. Hey.
Yeah, it's crazy. With the FTX stuff, like we touched on earlier, but markets have actually, increased a little bit. I think we have the, CPI inflation news, showing good news. And then we also have, a lot of, macro, things calling, like, Gensler talking about the rates tomorrow. Like all these economic news coming in. So Bitcoin has actually been at 17,800 this past month or so.
I think people have been calling for 13. They're just saying it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
People are calling for 10, dude.
We're asking, is this the bottom?
Well,
Gabe,
right
what do you
now,
think? Gabe, what do you
is
think?
Up. Like it's at 1,300 basically.
Are things bouncing?
So since the FTX went insolvent about a month and a half ago, things are up from about 15. Bitcoin is 15K, so it's been up pretty much for a month and a half straight, albeit very slightly.
I think kind of leveled out though. It's kind of been leveled.
So this CPI was the news today, and then this is
People are betting on 0.5% interest rate hike right now, and I think that's the reason things are going up. So if that doesn't happen, I'd expect things to go right.
A lot
back
of things are priced in, but what they're saying is it looks like there might be an end or a light at the end of the tunnel with the Russia-Ukraine stuff, which would be good for the macro if like the world kind of calmed down a bit.
Gas prices kind of lowered in the U.S.
They've lowered. It appears that like people are going back to work. So we can transition to the macro, and I'll get into that. Like I always like to say, I did the master's in business where you look at the numbers of the credit card debt in the U.S. is at all-time highs. And actually what they did is the interest rates are so high that people have to go back to work and people will work. And now it's kind of, they're saying peak inflation is over. So a lot of people are bullish thinking that things will go down. There's a lot of companies. The biggest instance is Lululemon. Have you guys heard about how?
Yeah, they have like 80% of their stock. They can't move. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So now it's kind of like the idea is nature is healing, where the things that were overpriced are going to fail.
The bubbles have all deflated.
Exactly. People no longer. This is the Lululemon hypothesis. When people aren't paying for overpriced stockings, and then the prices go down, like we've crossed peak inflation.
You got to give the Fed a little credit. They did it without popping them. They just deflated the bubbles.
Well,
they didn't pop the bubbles.
Now, basically what they've done is they've made the interest rates super high for middle or lower class people. So everybody who got their Biden bucks or their Trump bucks now has to go back to work. They've loaded up their credit card debt. And now, the time has come where it's going to hurt for a lot of everyday Americans. I mean, we're joking about it, but the reality is things are more expensive for people.
I paid $15 for Wendy's like a week ago. Like
what would have been $5 or 10.
Yeah, it would have been 10. Would have been like at least like.
So there was a news article about someone paying $74 for two people to eat at Five Guys.
Yeah, what the hell?
That's
ridiculous.
We're kind of glazing over, and I think this is a factor of the internet generation, where the news stories come, there's constant news, and then we don't realize that like the changes are historic, where the inflation, and this is where it gets to the macro and the business stuff, where the M2, the supply of dollars has increased, so the prices of everything are going to go up. And the people that make wages week to week and pay their bills week to week are getting screwed over.
Yeah. Even us, I mean, with a regular job, like we're it's not like with inflation 7%, your salary increased by 7% to account for inflation.
And 7% is bullshit.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
like,
it's totally
most
weighted.
Most you get is a 5%, 3%
no,
raise.
No, 7% is not the real inflation. The real inflation is much higher. Particularly
well, yeah,
if you're at the lower end of the
spectrum. Wage.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like your yearly bonus or whatever you did, you probably got like a max 5% bonus. And then you know, now inflation is 7%. So it's like, that's not even going to cover. It's not like they raised your salary 7% to account for inflation. And even if it is 7%, it's probably higher than 7%.
I think we've set the table, though, for now. We can maybe move to, like, the real news was, like, you know, SBF's in jail.
Yeah, the stories have, you know, just the tabloids. Just the tabloids, the rumors of SBF have really gone out in the web saying, like, dude was a horn dog, like, his drugs, his patches, his...
Well, the big thing was Alzheimer's
drugs, like, today, made him really horny.
Today, Maxine Waters, and then Gabe, didn't you hear some of the Congress people are very dumb.
Well, it was interesting how Bernie Madoff, there's been a lot of comparisons between Madoff and SBF's Ponzi's, but Madoff got indicted the next day, and it took Congress, or not Congress, but the DOJ a month and a half, or the SEC, what I think they brought joint charges, but it took them a month and a half to bring charges.
Madoff didn't make political contributions.
Well, but I think that also illustrates how little these people understand cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So today there was one congressperson who said they were having the private keys to their clients' crypto wallets, and there were hundreds of dollars being stolen. They were, dude, it was billions. Like, it was so funny to hear the congressperson. That was one of the things that got mocked. And I think that actually Gabe is really right to pick apart the way that the differences between Madoff and with SBF. So a Ponzi is where you actually take investors' money and give it to other people. But what SBF did wasn't technically a Ponzi. What he was doing was he was taking their clients' money and instead of just
trading it.
Exactly.
He's just basically a guy with a really bad gambling problem.
It's technically wire fraud. That's like that's the general term.
He basically had a very bad gambling problem where he ended up using.
So Bernie Madoff ended up with 3 life sentences, but
died a few years after he went to jail.
Yeah, in terms of legal, well, and I mean, I saw some of the things where his children had. Now there are people after SBF's, like, parents and stuff. His parents were, like, Democratic donors.
As well as all the political donations. They're trying to claw everything.
Well, no, not – I'm talking about – there's two different things. They're trying to claw back the political donations given to the Democratic Party. And then that's why Maxine Waters, she had asked him to testify, and they were wondering – if it was better for him not to testify and just go straight to jail.
He said he would testify.
That was a bit of a conspiracy, but – because he actually ended up...
He tweeted that he would testify. But then, like, he did all these interviews, his New York summit, whatever. And then he was just like, I don't remember. I don't remember. Oh my God. Like, this is so long ago. I don't remember. Like,
so yesterday... Yesterday... Like, and I think that we should probably try to keep it clear because this is, like, basically a breaking news story with the SBF stuff because every day there's new stuff. The new CEO that was also charged with doing the Enron work after they went bust.
Yeah, restructuring.
The restructuring and then trying. Yes, he's trying to get 10 cents on the dollar of the amount of money that people deposited with SBF. So FTX was not supposed to lend out funds, but all of the funds are basically 10% collateral of what. I mean, what the losings were of Alameda.
Well, they actually had nothing too because of the hack after all this went down.
Well, so and the hack was it
it was inside? Probably an FTX employee.
Yeah,
we don't think it was SBF, but it was probably another employee.
I've heard there's been people trying to cut the line to get their money back from SBF.
Well, he was also like getting like what it was manipulating the line so the rich people got their money out that could.
Playing favorites. That's pretty
cool. Well, and then the other thing that they said was that they were saying that in Bahamas, he was saying, I want the people in the Bahamas.
That's because he didn't want people killing him.
Yeah.
That's where he was. So he left those withdrawals open and closed them for everyone else.
Yeah. So yeah, he let those guys get their money back. And then, like, now he's getting detained by Bahama police. You know, there was that
been charged by the SDNY.
What was the Twitter account? Georgina, or like, where he's like, I'm gonna go to, he raised 10,000 in funds.
He's a funny guy. He's like a content creator. He's been like in the Bahamas being like, I'm gonna sneak up on
trying to lure SPF out, and hey, he got arrested by the Bahamian police.
So the interesting thing is the SDNY is the Southern District of New York, which is notoriously a Democratic controlled progressive circuit of the courts. And so a lot of them do like politically motivated stuff. And so them going against SBF is kind of like SBF donated a lot of money to the Democrats.
Yeah.
But the SDNY, it kind of means that there's a sea change where all the money that he donated to, a lot of people were saying he donated all the money to Democrats. He's never getting pulled in. And then now
it wasn't enough money.
It wasn't.
And it's kind of funny because it's like a chain reaction of playing dumb, right? We know SBF's playing dumb, but are these all these people that he donated to also playing dumb, or are they just dumb?
Yeah.
That's the question.
And both. No, and both. Because Maxine Waters,
I think they're trying to play off like they're actually dumb.
It goes so all the way to the top.
They're also playing
repercussions.
Well, they tried to do it with the New York Times. And SBF had all of these publications. It came out that he had done a $17 million loan to the CEO of The Block, one of the major crypto publications.
Bought him a condo in the Bahamas.
And it's clear that he was just basically bribing people, but they couldn't.
He's been bribing media like crazy for
puppies. But he lost so many people, so many millions of dollars. You can't just.
Yeah, playing dumb's not going to work for anyone.
You can't memory wipe that. You can't memory wipe that, like.
He probably thought the money would save him. It might help him a little.
But one of them, they're saying Brady and Giselle, what, maybe half a billion? Just the two of them?
Yeah, they got wiped out for half a billion.
They definitely got hurt.
Big time. And then he was getting...
Of their marriage.
Before that.
I'm kidding.
I'm fucking around.
Clickbait.
Well, it's also one of like we have to think about the discrepancy for Sam too, because he was living this life of insane luxury
in a massive crazy mansion. Like, you thought he was some frugal guy.
Drugs,
you know, he comfort.
I'm gonna disagree with his
Toyota Corolla.
I'm gonna disagree.
And then he was like trying to be this playboy philanthropist.
Well, now he's in one of the worst prisons in the world.
I'm gonna disagree with you guys, and
I didn't know that.
I'm gonna use it.
Tom was the worst. Worst prison.
I'm going to use it to bring up ChatGPT.
What's that?
I don't think that he was as smart as he thought he was.
Oh, obviously.
Obviously.
Either it was Caroline.
Worst trader of all time.
Yeah, her balance sheet. Caroline's balance sheet, the CEO of, or co-CEO of Alameda. Like, her balance sheet was negative 1.3 billion.
And it came out that she had herpes.
So during the
bull run. Yeah, her practice of... ethical non-monogamy.
During the initial bull run end of 2020, start of 2021, Alameda were some of the most successful traders in the game.
I know, we worshiped them.
No, it was fake. And then this was one thing.
Evidence. Like, their accounts making huge money.
Because the counter traders were money laundering, and so it was all fake. This is what... The question is,
they fooled us with Matt Camp, man.
Yeah, exactly.
we thought that they were smart.
Sam, like, Trabuco.
You saw this on our previous episodes. Like, we were like, oh, these
never
guys are
worship
smart.
Anybody in crypto.
These guys are smart. Up only. They were on Matt Camp together. Like, that's how they're just making these crazy algorithms. It's like, no, they're just horny nerds.
It's going to be one of the biggest
falls
of all
time. That want to fuck anything they move.
So the big joke.
Don't trust anybody.
That I've been sharing with Brian about it, but I don't think either of these guys are like as big a gamer as maybe. Or I mean, they're gamers.
But no, League of Legends.
I play League of Legends. I play League of Legends. And so apparently Sam had been playing for years. And for him to be level 3 at bronze, I've done some angel investing. And actually, it's scary. Because if you played years and you haven't improved at that game to get past the basic level.
Just mindless. He's just mindless playing because he's just like
on so drugs. ChatGPT is a AI that's been built by Sam Altman, who was a very famous Silicon Valley person. And it's like now it can do like programming for people. It can write people's essays if you ask it the right questions. I think that Sam spit out things that sounded smart, but deep down he didn't really know it. And Brian and I watch industry and the way they trade. I know that they write the scripts, but they consult with people that actually do the trading. It's the same with Epstein. If you went to Wall Street, they were all like, that dude does no trades.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I think Caroline and Sam weren't as smart as
great fundraisers.
They just look like nerds, and they're like, "Oh, you look like nerds." They would give them.
Sam money. Literally referred to himself as the greatest fundraiser of all time. Yeah.
So is he going to go to jail though?
Yeah,
likely. Should. It's hard to see how he doesn't.
You think he'll do a life?
I think
he's up for eight counts in the SDNY. 165
years.
Yeah, 165.
It'll probably be more like 50 max. Probably more realistically like 20, 30.
Probation.
It'll be like 20, 30.
Probably. I think it's 10 years.
You think we'll get 10 years? That's nothing.
No, 10 year, and then he'll get like good behavior probation.
I think 10 years.
And get off after years.
The strange thing to me is I don't get how these guys don't get murked.
It'll be more than 10.
His security has to be pretty strong.
Oh, I'm sure that he got like some people to invest some illegal money.
So
like,
did Caroline flip?
So that was the...
Did she flip?
And then if you're a Game of Thrones fan, I saw the meme of Caroline on top of... and then this is spoiler alert, but you know the Queen of Thorns or whatever in Game of Thrones?
Oh,
who's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And tell Cersei it was me.
Yeah.
But it's Caroline.
Did she leak it? Who knows? But I know she's just chilling in New York. She's not getting arrested at all. Like
no one has. No one's even been indicted, charged, anything. Not Tribuco, like, not Singh.
They just, I mean, props to them, honestly. Like they just played off like, oh, we're nerds. They'll believe us. Like we look ugly, but we're actually like super horny and want to fuck each other, and like yeah, we can fool these people out of a lot of money.
Also, a non-zero chance Tribuco or Sig were the people who emptied them out at the end.
Exactly. I mean, like the Tribuco leaving like back in like May, yeah. June, it like all makes sense now.
People think he's in Bali.
After it was so surprising that he left.
It's wild because I think we've been tracking it, and I think that if we went back through our clips, like there's this one meme which is really good, and it's like look, top signals everywhere, and you're like, wait, Bored Apes are going for millions, there are like celebrities shilling stuff.
This all feels real shady.
And you're like, wait, the CEOs are starting to quit?
The tweets are
buying boats and trying to disappear.
Rumors are like,
yeah.
Like, oh.
Pop signals.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
We got to keep in mind that SBF, after all these rugs, after all these insolvencies, SBF's the only one to be charged.
So one of the questions that I want to ask is the weird thing, I've deep dived into it, but as a, just for you guys to assume, because I know the details, but the details also don't make any sense. He threw out so many investments, and what do you think they're really worth? Because the weird thing is a lot of these are, so this is the term insolvency versus solvency. Solvency means that he can just trade something to get the money to pay the people back. He threw so much money at like startups that might pay off in just dumb stuff. And I sent Brian some of them. It was like, and then this is where if you did your due diligence as an investor, you would like be like, he was investing in property space that was planning to do sustainability. So it was like, I invested in a company that bought real estate
it was
in a space that would do sustainability for startups.
He was just betting the future. Do more. Do more in the future.
He tried to sign Taylor Swift for $100 million.
Yeah.
And apparently everybody else said that was really stupid of the company. Taylor Swift turned him down.
He broke it off too because he broke up with the chick that liked Taylor Swift.
No, but I heard Taylor Swift just turned him down.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I heard. That was coming out of Hill Camp.
This is one thing, and I don't want to be a douche about it, where I just think that, like, with a lot of the stuff with, like, Elon, I think that we actually, Brian and I and Gabe, like, pay attention deep. And there's deeper stories, but there's the surface story that I heard. And then with the Taylor Swift story, and I think I respect Gabe's opinion on everything, but there's so many layers where when you hear that Taylor Swift turned him down, that meant that SBF's team and Taylor Swift's team were talking for months and drafted contracts talked to their lawyers and were doing, like, it's not like just like he called her up and she said no.
Yeah.
It was like, this was $100 million deal that almost happened.
Yeah, you don't fuck. Yeah. People were like
trying to, you don't get Tom Brady just by taking a phone call and throwing money around.
That's true.
That sounds really funny, though, in the context that he was trying to give her $100 million of his users' money.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
Well, it's funny, like, what is happening now with all these sponsorships? Like, the baseball season now, this all happened, like, in the off-season of baseball. Like, what's going to happen when the baseball season comes around and you see the umpires with FTX?
No, none of that will be there.
Yeah. So, like,
what about
the Miami Stadium?
They took it off. They stripped the letters off Miami Stadium.
They did?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Because they can't pay them, obviously. Yeah, the second the money stops coming in, the name's gone.
And, I remember when he did it, SBF said, we have the money for 20 years, so might as well do it for 10 or something. Yeah.
No, they overpaid. That's why.
And then they were like, "SBF, why did you do this?" And he's like, "We have the cash.
We got to get the name because crypto in the bull market.
But like, crypto is notoriously up and down, which is like, how do these people make these mistakes? And then it kind of.
But it's in Miami though. You can't fault them for not taking the money because it's like, oh yeah.
I'm going to take the money.
It's a contract. It's written.
Spent a lot of money for a modest market share.
Exactly.
That's all I'm going to say.
So it's like,
it never really made sense.
Anyways.
So you know what? At this point, I think we've gone through that. And then now we can transition to, it appears that the spillover has turned into FUD, which is fear, uncertainty, and doubt about Binance.
The next domino.
Yeah, the next domino.
It would be the final domino. I mean,
you know, Binance collapse, crypto's like, why are we?
I don't think so.
Well, these are natural cycles.
It would hurt it.
Wipe out every poser. Wipe out everybody.
So CZ is the next guy in line.
I don't think it's going to happen, but we had some of the statistics and we'd been sharing them.
Well, it's been surviving.
It's been about $1 billion of outflows.
$3 billion.
Yeah.
$3 billion over the last
48 hours.
48, because I heard that it was one the first day, but it's been ramping up.
$3 billion.
People are very scared that they're going to be insolvent. And there's a lot of BUSD, which is Binance USD.
Well, yeah.
That's half their treasury. It's a lot like FTX.
There's all this report that they're over collateralized. Like, if you look at their balance sheet, it's all Tether, BUSD. Which is their version of, you know, dollars, and then Binance. So over 70% of their, like, thing.
I think people are trying to do the same thing to FTX as what CZ actually sort of did to them. You know, now they're trying to do that exactly. And then have a bank run and sell
well, that's what they're saying that FTX.
I think it'll be a lot harder to do that to Binance.
FTX manipulated for the Voyager bid. They were neck and neck, and then
FTX took out Voyager.
Yeah,
that's why they're up for wire fraud.
They took out Binance for they've like spread some FUD about Binance, so they were a competitive bid. So it's crazy.
But for Binance, what I had heard is that their Bitcoin is over collateralized and it's provable on chain.
They have a much bigger reserve than FTX did, 6 times as big. It's going to be a lot harder to take down.
At the end of the day, as a business person, I know that you have some overhead, but how do their fees not cover the overhead?
They're overdoing the FUD. People are trying to like blame them as a Chinese company, and they're actually a Canadian company. And he's like,
What do you mean Canadian?
Well, yeah.
CZ's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
CZ is now international.
He's been a Canadian for 11 years.
He identifies as a Canadian.
Yeah, but Canada... No,
that's a very messed instruction.
This is one of the things where him and Musk...
He's not manipulated by the Chinese
government. There are global governments that are in competition with Binance.
Definitely.
He has to talk to the U.S.
government.
Yes, but he's not manipulated by the Chinese government.
Dude,
it's not even about China, though. It's about crypto.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the U.S. government wants to attack.
That's true.
Or at least a lot of people in the government. Not everyone.
Getting an account on Binance US is not as easy as getting an account on the other one.
Binance US is
way different than the rest of Binance, which is insane.
It's like FTX US is garbage.
KuCoin's not
like Coinbase,
they make you upload a government ID now. So it's like, More U.S. compliant.
He was talking shit about SBF too, Brian Armstrong.
Yeah.
Why not? Because they're actually, you know, they were talking shit about how they're based in Bahamas and they're based in D.C. So it's like, you know, like we chose to be based in the U.S. so that, you know, we're SEC compliant or whatever, you know, it's like compliant with U.S. regulations.
The U.S. has been leaning on Coinbase.
That's guaranteed. Yeah.
Because they used to be way more crypto.
And maybe that's smart. Maybe that's smart to, like, you know.
Well, we're kind of going full circle back to, like, the.
Yeah, I was going to bring it back to Binance. I'd say the two big takeaways here are what CZ is doing on Twitter. And just kind of in general, is mirroring a lot of the things SBF did before FTX collapsed. And that is people really scared. I think that's the main reason.
There was that one happening. FUD where we're moving stuff from one wallet to another and nothing is a big deal.
And then the second thing on top of that, this is my theory. I don't know if this is true, but I think that there is like a manipulation, like a very coordinated effort to FUD Binance because I think big players are short BNB. That's my theory. Well, I have no evidence to back
right now. They should shake out the retail. Retail has bled so dry. And I think
retail's out.
And the people who have sold won't sell now.
Well, what I've been saying is that
they just like choose to forget about it.
There's a flip side of there's the retail now, and it's the effect of South Korea. In South Korea, there is no hope of an average person ever saving enough money to get an apartment. So they all gamble.
Isn't Japan similar?
It's similar. So now you constantly are just shaking out the new money. And then if you just have these hopeless gamblers that are the retail millennials, like you just constantly be shaking.
China's still a big market, even though it's illegal. You know, it's pretty crazy. So,
You might think that the shakeout has happened, but there are these just hopeless people that are gambling on crypto that constantly are being shaken out by big money.
I honestly think that we don't go lower unless Binance implodes, and even if Binance implodes, the lowest.
But like Bitcoin people are bad. I think like for me too. I think like people are. Like, why not FTX? Why not Binance?
The regulations are coming, and that's what's going to take it lower.
But the U.S. isn't the only country in the world. Like that's what we have to keep in mind here.
I mean, Singapore started to roll back on their crypto.
Until 2 years ago, the biggest markets were in Asia. They weren't even the U.S.
Singapore is rolling back. Like, Dubai is becoming the premier, like, international place.
The U.S. is not the whole world. Regulations will hurt crypto in the U.S.
It's
not
basically Dubai. People are trying to set up shop in Dubai.
The U.S. regulations won't apply anywhere outside of the U.S.
That's true.
That's what we have to keep in mind about.
That's true.
It's literally, and people will find ways around those like they always have.
Yeah.
Like,
have bank accounts in Switzerland, like, you know. Basically.
Anybody with real money is not going to be very affected by the regulations in the U.S. They'll just take everything elsewhere. That's just how it always works. That's how it's always worked in China.
No.
That's how it's going to work here.
It's difficult because if you know about FATCA, if you lived abroad, the U.S. is one of two countries in the world that do taxation based off of citizenship rather than by residency.
True, but I mean, you could still have people just do it for you.
Well, that's illegal.
Yeah, but it's pretty hard.
We're just talking about it. Yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, people take the risk. They already do.
Not legal advice. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not legal, yeah. So I've had people ask me about how to do it. Exactly. So, but that's the whole thing is like.
People do it.
And that's the point of crypto. And then the point of crypto is also, why can't I do things in cash? So this is what I was going to tell you guys is like, the regulations are coming. They're doing a CBDC in Brazil. In this one country,
well, Nigeria is the terrifying one.
They're like not
they limiting, limited cash withdrawals to 200.
They're limiting cash withdrawals.
Terrifying.
No. In Europe.
Europe, 10K.
10K in cash.
Crazy.
Or else it's illegal.
Crazy.
And now what
you
they're
can't
saying.
Do any transactions.
So the big one is, have you guys heard about in China about what's going to happen with the digital yuan?
I'm sure it was the same thing as Nigeria.
Yeah, something bad.
It's even worse.
What?
So the digital yuan. Not only can you not use cash, you'll get dollars or digital yuan in your mobile app or whatever, but they'll have an expiration date. Do you know why?
What?
Keep the economy going.
And then also...
That way people can't just sit on money.
And then you can't save up.
Yeah.
So you have to spend. But you'll never be able to
really
get yourself out of
gold.
No,
really
you're
bullish case.
Because then you're like, I need to hoard stuff. You need to hoard stuff. Because
and China already front ran that by adding to the reserves by massive amounts that have never
so
been seen before.
Imagine that you're not able to save money. And all the money that's given to you, you have to spend in 2 weeks only on your necessities, but they're tracking what you spend your money on.
Yeah.
Even if you buy gold. Like in China, you're gonna have to like hide your dried beans to be able to like save money because they'll never let you out of poverty.
Yeah. No, it's funny how much libertarians get hated on here, but those are the people that are going to save America. That's why Europe and China are doomed.
Brother, I'm right there with you. Libertarian. For
people life. Love hating on libertarians.
But we're not supposed to get pit. We're not supposed to get political on this, but yeah. Yeah. Buy gold. Fuck the government. The CBDCs
Dude,
are coming watches, for you.
Man. Gotta get the Rolexes.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah. It's fucking terrifying, though, what they're doing around the world.
Europe looks almost like done to me. Like, it's, Europe's in a very slippery slope.
Yeah.
And they're sliding.
Maybe look for, Euro. I mean, Euro.
Europe's terrifying.
What do you want with the dollar right now?
So I saw some stuff. You know, it's not actually about one-to-one. It's worse in London and in England because even though their currency is stronger, everything is way more expensive in England.
Well, they're printing like crazy in England to save their economy.
Well, and they're just in disarray, right? With the prime minister, like actually.
They had to go on a massive buying spree of gilts so that
and then the pension funds would collapse. The queen died, everyone didn't want to work, like people were mourning, like, you know, like. Yeah, England's in disarray. And they lost in the World Cup. Like, the guy choked.
It's not coming home.
It's not coming home. People, like, thought because the Queen died, like, they were going to win the World Cup. But no.
Scary. Scary times.
And but then let's just move to the shills.
Yeah.
I thought we were getting a chain link.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
We should do the chain link.
So, chain link.
Hold
thinking.
On. Let's take a pause.
You can do that?
Dumbass. Yeah, so, like, Chainlink. We were transitioning to Chainlink. Like, they're stinking 0.1 version. Like, they had 2.5 million, you know, allocated in their pool. It got filled up within, you know, 24 hours. But they were having some issues with the early access. Like, especially with their, like, their partners,
well,
I'd say.
And I would say what Gabe has brought up is he doesn't get it. And then it totally makes sense because the allocation and the amount of, it's kind of like dollars. And this is what people don't realize where the supply of certain tokens or coins or dollars are controlled by other people and the supply and demand. Everyone assumes that this is responsibly done, But what happens is that the Chainlink Association has like goo gobs of fucking Chainlink tokens that they sell.
Other people's tokens.
Constantly, they're constantly selling these tokens.
They have a bunch of other companies within their program, their build program, you know, that they allocate in different tokens. And so LDL, their pool, and they like, I guess they forced people to transfer into an S, like a different kind of token. And if they ask you to transfer different,
I think we're too in the weeds though.
Yeah.
So I have a very simple question.
Yeah.
We know Chainlink's integral to like the crypto infrastructure.
Yeah.
But like, why would you, as retail, hold Chainlink?
So what they're saying is that Chainlink is going to pay the people that are doing the oracles and the nodes that are
providing truth.
And how much link do you need to hold to run a node?
A lot. It's like beyond
10,000 link or $10,000
worth. 10,000 link.
Beyond that, it's computing power. And then the thing is, it's a weird economics thing where
it's an incentive based thing too, because
you need to be able to
stay.
So these companies are providing a ton of computing power where they earn link because they're holding the network up,
and they're providing they're keeping the network.
You keep saying provide truth though, but I think we need to go simpler for Gabe and the
retail crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why would you hold link?
So
like very simple.
All these different computers are providing basic information and
price feeds.
Yes.
You know, rain data. You know.
No, we did this. We did this. We need to go back to, and we just need to repeat ourselves because he's saying it, and this was the spiel for way back, and also for Mark Cuban. The idea is though that there's going to be a network of computers that will provide information where all of these computers are going to give data points where you'll be so sure you don't trust the one service. And so instead of trusting the weather service, if it's going to rain, there's going to be like literally like infinite amount of computers, a million computers with the sensors and IoT giving you all the information in the world. And Chainlink is when they do the price feeds. If you bet that Bitcoin isn't going to cross 20,000, who do you trust? Do you go to the Bitcoin company to tell you the price of Bitcoin? And this is how like the Mt. Gox stuff happens, or also like the different companies where if you're on an exchange and then they don't have the liquidity and you're like, well, they can't sell me any more Bitcoin, so then the price just shot up or shot down. This is like a purely technological trust factor in Chainlink. But you have to pay them in Chainlink, which is worth money. And then they have to pay them bit by bit, and then they have so much Chainlink that they could totally sell all their Chainlink, and then the price would go to zero. So whoever the holders of Chainlink are, the Chainlink Foundation could sell all their Chainlink and then take all your money basically at any moment.
Right. And I think no one would disagree that, you know, the utility of like the token for what it does within crypto is pretty much second to none. But what I'm a little more interested in is, I don't know how much you guys would even know about this.
The supply is manipulated by Sergey Nazarov.
Right.
And
that's kind of what
Foundation.
I wanted to get into a little bit. Do you guys know anything about like the unlocks and how the coin will be released?
So apparently only of the floating, so I believe like about 40% of
the... But that's why the proof of stake mechanism, though. They burn. It involves burning too.
Yeah.
Going proof of stake.
But right now, I think that it's like 40% of the tokens, coins have been issued.
Do you know what percentage Sergey holds of the issued?
It's like
25 or 30%
of the issued. 25.
Well,
or 30%.
Well, the whole Chainlink.
I think it's like
organization.
Organization is like 25%.
Yeah, like so they can keep selling
but
to
like
be able to fund themselves.
Himself,
yeah.
I don't think is that.
But the unlocked, I'd imagine, is even higher.
Well, and the weird thing is they have to pay their own. Blocked, so they have to pay the nodes to be able to keep the network going.
Of course, yeah. And that's like very common practice for how anything like that would work.
But it's the same with Bitcoin, where if you keep the network going, then you get paid. It's like mining tokens almost.
Yeah.
But instead of mining, it's a node.
Oh, well, yeah, 25% sounds pretty reasonable.
No, but that's only of the distributed tokens. Right, but there's still like 60% of the tokens that haven't been distributed.
And of course, they control even more of that.
So there's a constant sell pressure. Apparently, every week there's like, to keep the Chainlink organization going, it's like...
Yeah, they dump every Friday. Every it's like Friday. A meme. Yeah, they just dump on you.
Yeah.
That's just always been my kind of, I guess, hesitation to really hold it. You know, I mean... Like I think it's a great project. It's a great coin. I just don't know if the upwards volatility price action is
so the
really,
big question is,
I mean, maybe long term.
So the big question is, who's holding it and who's manipulating the price? Because the thing is, we all think that we're smart going up or down, but actually you're just at the whims of the big holders.
Of course.
And so who's holding and what are they doing? Is it the Chainlink organization or is it the institutions?
Early access guys.
But if you're just like a Link Marine,
yeah,
you're like totally at the whims. And I always like to do the metaphor of you're a tiny boat on big waves.
That's why, like, maybe you're kind of skeptical of doing linking or staking, because you know,
could be stolen.
The pool,
doesn't
the
matter.
The pool is totally full of, you know, whales or whales.
So the scariest thing to me, though, is that 60% is unlocked or is locked. Like, that's just kind of...
Well, the thing is that they have so many people using it that will be, you know, need chain link for accurate data.
To that ecosystem.
Yeah. But the thing is, the thing is, there's all these levers where Brian is about the same idea that I am, where as Chainlink improves in technology, it will become more and more useful, and then it'll be needed more and more. And then you'll have to pay in Chainlink.
Yeah.
So eventually you'll have to spend all the Chainlink to give them
that's
the
why,
and the value will increase.
Yeah.
Value will increase.
We're probably talking 5 years here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and then the thing is, there's multiple levers. So is it going to be that you're going to have to spend so much Chainlink to be able to run the nodes that it's going to increase in value? Or is there so much supply that Sergey can keep dumping for 10 years? These questions are two questions, but then you add other questions. Who is going to have the open interest on shorting Chainlink? Who has the supply? Who is actually investing in it? How much have they levered up? And so then we're just tiny boats. So all these questions, when you start adding them up, we have no answers.
I think what's going to be crucial, and this is probably what's going to make or break it for them, is just kind of going to be out of their control, whereas it's just kind of crypto adoption as a whole. It sounds like it's going to be very hard for them to succeed.
And then the big thing was
crypto
that
adoption
Chainlink
really
is going to work. Chainlink is going to work with Swift. Chainlink is going to work with Visa.
Company adoption.
Right.
Companies
will need to adopt.
So the big thing is,
well,
it's actually
so like Swift.
It's
Swift
actually a technology. It's actually a technology that
just,
is so powerful.
I know it's Swift.
They got AP Press, AP Association with all the election data.
Yeah, it's going to be, this is going to need to continue exponentially, I think.
But yeah, it's crazy.
And if that happens, I think, you know, at best that
you're betting on worldwide use, basically.
Right. You are.
Corporations.
Exactly.
Big corporate, not normies.
But the idea of oracles is such the ideas of a decentralized technology that's going to, at the moment, there are only centralized companies that you trust for data and price feeds.
Yeah.
And so if you made it decentralized,
that'll be huge. Yeah.
And the thing is, the amount of the, so if you compare them to their competition, a centralized price feed, like for a stock exchange, how much money do they take in fees to provide those prices? And
you
to
think
facilitate
they're gonna,
the trades.
You think they might be involved in building stock exchanges?
Well, yeah, because
that'd be really
you would
cool.
Well, you would use Chainlink instead of a stock exchange.
Well, it'd be a stock exchange like built with Chainlink integrated into it.
Exactly. And then instead of giving the money to the stock exchange to facilitate the trades at the prices, you give it to Chainlink.
Yeah.
Chainlink's gonna accrue a ton of value. Every time you need to get information, you're going to have to pay the nodes.
Yeah.
And so then if you pay the nodes for everything, And once you start integrating the technology into like IoT, where, okay, we want temperatures everywhere, we want speeds, we want cameras, everything is chain linked.
Yeah.
That's where you get super giga brain, where you're like, Chainlink is going to track everything, and everything is going to need to pay Chainlink nodes in Chainlink. So every Chainlink is going to be worth so much because you're paying for verifiable data from a trustless network.
I guess to try and sum it up, though, basically, it's a relatively high conviction play within crypto. If you have a longer
five years
minimum.
People are just like really insane about it, and then it's also frogs. Like everybody does the memes, and they're doing Chainlink because during the bear market from like I think 2016 on, Chainlink went from like a fraction of a penny to like dollars
to $3.
So a lot of people like got rich.
What's Link out right now? 7?
Yeah. Okay.
It got up to 50.
Yeah. All right. It's like, I could see myself, you know.
I've been buying under 6.
Diversifying for the long term. Yeah.
I've been buying.
So this is what I wanted to get back to when I mentioned where I was like, so who is holding Link? Who has positions up or down? It's institutions. It's large crypto companies. There's a lot of Link being dumped by the Link organization.
And miners, too.
And so it's kind of you're late to the party, and there's a lot of people dancing.
Seven's pretty cheap to be late to the party.
No, we're too early. Under 10 is pretty good.
It was $20 this time 2 years ago.
The thing is, people group crypto all as a one thing, and it really does follow.
What it is now.
Whatever Bitcoin does, people follow. But Chainlink should be grouped as almost a separate technology.
I'm just saying it's hard to say you're early when 2 years ago it was three times higher.
I think it's early now because crypto is so down right now.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't say.
Well, and then the Chainlink organization, there's a reason. If Sergey is dumping to be able to pay for engineers, they're building. That's the reason.
They got Eric Schmidt, Eric Schmidt doesn't, attaching his name to Scrubs. Like, he knows viable technology when he sees it.
So if crypto succeeds, Chainlink succeeds. That's kind of what it comes down to.
If Chainlink succeeds,
crypto succeeds.
No, it's Chainlink's his own thing. And that's the whole thing that I was trying to tell people when you're investing.
So you think it could succeed even if Bitcoin died?
Totally. It's like its own thing.
It's processing large amounts of data. It's basically biocomputing.
It's a decentralized truth mechanism for blockchain, and it can be utilized in many industries. Chainlink can separate completely.
What about Ethereum and Chainlink?
It would solve every debate. There's a right answer. There's a one true right answer.
Because Ethereum and Chainlink are pretty highly correlated and integrated.
Well, I was seeing recently some stuff about like ICP was actually giving smart contracts to Bitcoin on top of Bitcoin.
ICP seems doomed.
I've heard otherwise, where it actually is like the whole token.
I feel like they've been all talk and no performance for their entire existence.
And then now in the
Polkadot has earned $860. $862 in fees.
It's a lot of talk. Dude,
I heard Cardano also might be turning a corner.
Cardano is a lot more hope than those two.
Hey, should we get to shills? And wrap it up then? Yeah. Because you guys do your shills.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, I think I'm still holding out. I'm still saving up on cash. I'm looking at Chainlink too. I believe in Chainlink and like Ethereum or whatever. But I think, times are tough now. I think might as well stockpile cash.
What about you, Gabe?
I like Phantom, Cardano, Optimism, Matic.
Because
stuff like that.
I like the stuff.
The L2s. I like the L2s.
I like the stuff that nobody is thinking about because you need to make outsized gains on stuff that not many people are talking about.
No, if nobody's talking, if everyone's talking about something, then you're losing.
Exactly. So I'm going to talk about CoinPy Pandas.
No one's talking about anything right
now. No one's talking about NFTs, period. CoinPy Pandas.
That's definitely not true.
Yeah.
NFTs like the only thing that's still talked about.
So CoinPy Pandas, shout out to Real Milk Bags. Milk Bags. Or no, Ice Bags.
Ice Bags, CoinPy Pandas.
CoinPy Pandas, man. I bought an
earlier. I heard Pudgy Penguins are going off.
Rocks,
Penguins
man.
Are going off.
Rocks.
That's what I heard.
Get the
that's what I heard.
Get the undervalued NFT.
I got a default brown rock, but I'm still holding.
Oh, if you had a dude, the legendary.
Imagine,
are, like,
imagine if
you
had a colored rock, right? Like if I got a yellow.
So I'm seeing NFTs like the only reason crypto's still talked about.
Totally, like, because otherwise everyone's born.
I know. NFTs like
I'm
the
saying,
only thing.
CoinPy Pandas.
That's
Rogs, Pudgy Penguins.
Dude, I mean, Pudgy's doing
dude, these are, these where are, would ETH be without NFTs right now?
That's true. Like,
These are the future blue chip NFTs. Because these are the things that the bear market has shaken out to shitty NFTs. The Bored Apes. I think that they're still overvalued, honestly. Because like
Bored Apes suck.
Well, they caught the front run, but they,
dude,
you know,
Cadenzas are kind of cheap right now.
I'm totally about that, man. That's a good move.
Cadenzas, for sure. Man.
Rainbow Squiggles, the Rainbow Chromies or whatever.
Yeah, Art Blocks.
Art Blocks.
Sappy Seals.
I don't like the seals. I'm not a seal guy.
It's like same as Gumball Pandas.
No, and the penguins are better.
Oh, Pudgy Penguins are better.
Yeah.
They're like the best performing bear market NFT ecosystem, aren't they? Pudgy? Yeah. Seems like it.
They're turned
up. Out of the blue chips, anyway. All
right. But on that, I think we're wrapping up.
Yes, that was a good pod.
Thanks, Smithy.
Yeah. Bye.